Oral questions by members.
House Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, BC has by far the highest gas taxes and the highest gas prices in all of North America. With billions from the carbon tax disappearing into general revenue, with no accountability from this NDP government. Now, British Columbians see explosive allegations of corruption that show that carbon tax kickbacks are flowing to NDP-appointed consultants through 20% success fees. Now, the Energy Minister was briefed on these allegations a month ago, yet only today is she admitting wrongdoing in this carbon tax kickback scandal. So my question is this. Why did the NDP try to sweep this scandal under the rug three times last week, despite clear evidence having been brought directly to the minister's office a month ago? And specifically, what new information on the carbon tax kickbacks has been provided to the minister that has resulted in this sudden 180-degree change in her tune?
Minister of Energy and Mines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Grant programs have to be fair to all applicants, and the public must have confidence that they're administered in a way that's in the public interest. Over the weekend, we received new information, and I've been clear all along, if we received new information, we would act on it. That's exactly what is happening here.
Members.
This new information has raised further questions, and they're questions that need to be answered. Mr. Speaker, that's why I've directed the Comptroller General to undertake a review of MNP's practices in two grant programs. And Mr. Speaker, that's why we want the Office of the Auditor General to do the same. Mr. Speaker, these programs must be fair. British Columbians need to depend on that fairness. They need to know that we are always, always acting in the public interest. And that's why we're taking action now.
House Leader of Official Opposition, supplemental.
Well, Mr. Speaker, of course grant programs are supposed to be fair and they're supposed to be transparent, but nothing is further from the truth under the administration of this minister. I would surmise that the only thing that changed over the weekend is that the Premier saw this scandal blowing up on TikTok.
Exactly. Yeah.
And here we are today, watching damage control unfold in front of us. Now, the reality is this, Mr. Speaker. The details of the carbon tax kickback scandal were provided to the Minister of Energy a month ago. MNP, handpicked by the NDP to oversee grant approvals, leverages their position to demand 20% in success fees. Despite Edison Motors exposing the kickback scheme to the Minister's office over a month ago, her response and that of this government has been nothing but stonewalling. Now, the serious allegations here directly involve the minister and her staff, yet not only did she dodge questions in question period last week, she also refused to recuse herself, and she voted against referring this to the Auditor General in this House last week, and she's in charge of the program that is actually in question. This entire situation reeks of a conflict of interest at best, outright corruption at worst. So the question is this. What did the minister know? When did she know it? And how many other companies in British Columbia are part of this NDP carbon tax kickback scheme?
Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As soon as my office was informed by Edison Motors, we took action. Mr. Speaker, as soon as my office was informed by Edison Motors about their questions about the administration of the MNP programs, we took action. Program staff called MNP, spoke to them about the rules of the program to ensure that they understood the rules. They were assured that MNP understood the rules, that they had followed the rules, and in fact, that they were strengthening their processes. Mr. Speaker, at that time, based on the information that we had been given by Edison Motors, we took action, and last week I made it very clear. If there was new information that came to light, we would take action. This new information brings in more questions. Mr. Speaker, more questions that people want answers to. It raises questions that can be answered through a review by the Comptroller General, through a review by the Auditor General. Mr. Speaker, that is the action that we are taking to ensure fairness for all.
Member for Kamloops North Thompson.
Wow, what decisive action by the minister's office. They made one phone call to the group that was actually having the complaints leveled against them. Wow, that's sure a thorough way to make sure there's no wrongdoing going on, Mr. Speaker. Let's be clear, last week when I asked the question of the minister might want to go back and listen to Hansard. Not only did she not even come close to acknowledging the question, she just skated right by it, as if it wasn't even asked, and talked about something completely different. Wednesday, the NDP-dominated Public Accounts Committee voted against the Auditor General looking into this exact issue. Thursday, all the NDP members in this chamber voted against the same thing.
Three strikes.
The minister keeps changing her story, Mr. Speaker. Last week, this wasn't even, according to the minister, a BC government program. The opposition was conflating the programs that were out there. It wasn't the same one. She can't seem to keep her story straight, and now after a million TikTok views over the weekend, suddenly they've had a moment of clarity. Well, Mr. Speaker, that new information apparently was egregious enough to suspend MMP without an investigation actually taking place. I notice the minister hasn't been suspended. Will the minister actually involve the RCMP as well, seeing as these allegations must be so egregious that you're not even letting MMP continue on with their current work?
Minister of Energy and Mines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me be very clear. These concerns were brought forward to us by Edison Motors and information provided to us by Edison Motors, not by anybody else. Despite the fact the opposition bringing this up in the House, not one member of the opposition has spoken to me or provided my office with any information. We used the information that we had. We investigated. We spoke with Edison Motors. We spoke with MNP. But Mr. Speaker,
members,
it's clear. It is so clear. These
members,
processes need to be absolutely fair for all applicants, and that's why the reviews are so important. Mr. Speaker, the opposition understands that programs like these are sometimes administrated by third parties. Their government did it. Our government does it. MNP is a Canada-wide company that provides these kinds of services to other provinces. It happens. They did it. We have strict agreements with MNP on what can and cannot occur in these
members,
relationships.
Members, let's listen to the answer, please.
Mr. Speaker, funding from grant programs can never be used for consulting fees. MNP cannot ask for it, they cannot request it, and anyone receiving funding from that program cannot use it to pay for consulting services. That's why, Mr. Speaker, it's important for all of us, for all of British Columbia, to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to do it with the Comptroller General and the Office of the Auditor General to make sure that these programs are fair for everybody.
Thank you. Kamloops North Thompson supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, this is a made in BC NDP government carbon tax kickback scheme, plain and simple. What the minister doesn't want to acknowledge in this chamber, Mr. Speaker, is that the same information provided to her office on February 27th by Edison Motors, written evidence about the request for the 20% success fee on the heels of a rejected application, and if you reapply, with our 20% success fee, we're confident you'll be successful.
It's pretty clear.
That was all the same written information given to the opposition parties on the same day by Edison Motors. Yet the minister last week said nothing to see here. In fact, it wasn't even a government of BC program, was one comment the minister made last week. Then it turned into, well, we looked into things and there was nothing untoward going on. We find out today it was a phone call, one phone call. That was it. Wednesday, they say no to the motion. Thursday, they say no to the motion. The excuses keep changing. The bottom line is the carbon tax kickback scheme under this government's watch has failed miserably. No one believes that the minister has looked into this properly. No one believes that they're properly motivated to actually have the Auditor General look into this. And in fact, if the new evidence is so egregious that MNP can no longer be doing government work until the results of that audit, Why is the minister refusing now? Maybe she'll have a change of heart by Tuesday or Wednesday this week, the way she's going. Why is the minister now refusing to call in the RCMP to look into the matters as well?
Minister.
Mr. Speaker, this is about the administration of two specific government grant programs that are administered by MNP. It is about the practices that MNP uses in administering those programs and other services that they may offer. Mr. Speaker, the opposition can conflate different words and different times and different programs. It's what they do.
Members.
Mr. Speaker, I have been very clear. These are programs that are administered by MNP, two programs, the ARC program, the Civic program. Concerns about those programs were brought forward to my office. We took action the day we heard about that. And Mr. Speaker,
members,
to get to the bottom of this,
members,
to,
please.
To get to the bottom of this, let's have the Auditor General do their work. Mr. Speaker, let's have the Comptroller General take a
members.
Look at this work. And Mr. Speaker, the new evidence that we received this weekend begs too many questions. That's why we're taking action now. We know these programs must be fair for every
members,
single applicant.
Members, come to order, please.
That's
members.
Why we've directed the reviews, and that's what's going to take place. I hope the opposition will support that.
Members will come to order. Shh, members. Leader of the third party.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I want to step back and consider the question of the role of a minister. And really, the minister in a government, just like all of us, are there to represent the public and the public interest. And so we are looking at a situation with MNP and the way that these grants were being adjudicated and an apparent 20% success fee being attached to helping out with that grant writing. And it raises a lot of questions about who's protecting the public interest and the public purse. MNP received almost $10 million in government transfers last year. Ministers are responsible, Honourable Speaker. Their job is to ensure that the funds entrusted to their ministry, public money, are spent fairly, transparently, and can withstand all scrutiny. My question is to the Minister of Energy, Mines, Low Carbon Innovation. Given the responsibilities of a minister, was she aware of grant award processes within her portfolio responsibilities?
Minister of Energy and Mines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member opposite for the question. Yes, these are serious matters, and of course, I and all of my colleagues take our roles extremely seriously. And we have a responsibility. Everyone in this House has a responsibility, and we see that function playing out today about ensuring that the public interest is met. Ensuring that applicants are treated fairly. So this program, these two programs in this case, administered by MNP, this is a practice that is common to some governments. It does happen. It has happened for years here in this government and governments previous to us, in which they act as administrators of grant programs. They have a role in overseeing the application process, working with applicants, of convening a panel of experts and provincial and federal staff people who make recommendations on the grant applications, which ultimately are decided by the ministry. Mr. Speaker, these are common practices. We take them very seriously. That's why we need to get to the bottom of MNP's practices. That's why, with the new information that we've received, with the questions that it raises, the questions that need to be answered, we are referring this to the Auditor General and the Comptroller General.
Leader of the third party supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I think a reasonable question that the public might want answered as well is, on the one hand, we've seen a significant growth in the size of the public service in the last 7 years. And on the other hand, we see government grant processes being handed over to third parties. And so I wonder about why it is we don't have staff in government, with all the staff that have been hired, to actually administer government funding. Why is it that we pay third parties a lot of money to administer government grant programs? My friend Laura used to say, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so back to my question around the responsibility of a cabinet minister to protect the public interest, to protect the public purse. Their full-time job should be ensuring the spending of public funds is above board, welcome the scrutiny, and always keep in mind the privilege and responsibility of representing the public. My question is to the Premier. Given what has been uncovered about the Clean BC grants, will this Premier ensure that all government grants are reviewed, particularly those being administered by third parties?
Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and thank you again to the member for the question. As I explained, there are times when governments will use the services of a third-party administrator to help in the administration of a grant program, as is the case with the ARC program and the CIVIC program. It is more efficient sometimes at a time when there isn't capacity inside government to use these kinds of services. And of course, it always remains the responsibility of the Minister of Cabinet to ensure that funds are used responsibly, that they are managed well in the public interest. Because of the number of questions around the practices of MNP in this case that have come to light, we are referring to the Auditor General and the Comptroller General for a review. And Mr. Speaker, based on the recommendations that come forward from those reviews, we will take action as appropriate. That is the purpose of those reviews, so that we can ensure the public can be confident in the way grants are managed and in the public interest. Thank you.
House Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. On April 1st, this NDP Premier got his marching orders from Ottawa, and he raised the carbon tax again. With the NDP's latest increase, British Columbians are now paying almost 20 cents per litre just in carbon tax. When the Conservative Party of British Columbia forms government, we're going to axe that tax on day one so that families can afford to live again.
Members.
Last week, we found out that the money British Columbians pay in carbon tax, 20 cents out of every litre of gas, is being misappropriated. MNP, who have lobbied the NDP, are using Clean BC as a slush fund and seem to be abusing taxpayers' funds by double-dipping. Here's what we know. MNP, hired by the Premier, chooses who gets grant money. At the same time, they're taking 20% of the grant money as a fee to write proposals for grant applicants. This double-dipping is clearly unethical, but British Columbians deserve to know, is it also criminal? And how are the NDP involved? So my question to through you to the Premier, Mr. Speaker, when will you ask the Attorney General and Solicitor General to support an RCMP investigation into the corruption that has occurred under your watch?
Through the chair, member. Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Let me be clear. MNP does not make the final decisions on the CIVIC and ARC grants. They administer this grant program on behalf of government in a tight contractual arrangement with very clear parameters around what is and is not an eligible expense, including any kind of consultancy or lobbying fees. Mr. Speaker, based on the new information that we received this weekend, so many questions are out there and are being asked. The way to get to the bottom of this is by undertaking a review through the Auditor General and the Comptroller General so that they can take a clear look at all the evidence before them. And let me say to the House, if anybody has information that they haven't shared with my office,
I hope it will be shared with the Auditor General and the Comptroller General. Mr. Speaker, based on the results of those reviews, we'll take further action as appropriate. In time, we have to let these reviews unfold and take place. And again, I urge any member who has information to take it forward to those offices. Thank you.
House Leader of the Fourth Party Supplemental.
Tight contractual agreement. Clearly, there's a loophole big enough to drive a diesel electric semi through it. Mr. Speaker, the Premier is a King's Counsel lawyer.
Members.
British Columbians expect him to understand the law, to follow the law, and to have a high standards of ethics in his behavior and those that he has a contractual agreement with. My question to the Premier, as a lawyer, when he made the decision to ask NDP colleagues to vote down an investigation last Thursday, just what exactly were you hoping to hide from British Columbians?
Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I've been clear all along, if we received new information that demanded action, we would take it. And that's exactly what happened. Based on the information that my office was provided on February 27th, that was looked into, that was discussed with MNP, that was discussed with Edison Motors, and with new information coming forward this weekend, questions have been asked. We know we need to look into the practices of MNP to assure British Columbians that all applicants are being treated fairly and to ensure that grant programs are managed with the interests of people in mind 100% of the time. Mr. Speaker, that's the work that will be undertaken, and I look forward to sharing the results of those reviews with this House. The Auditor General will return to the Legislative Assembly. The Comptroller General, we will release all of the information that we are legally allowed to do so when it is ready. Thank you.
Member for Surrey South.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Open illicit drug use is so out of control in hospitals. The drug dealers are now brazenly conducting business on the rooftop patio of St. Paul's Hospital. A concerned nurse says, quote, "We know they are drug dealers, and yet they come and go." Another nurse at St. Paul's Hospital says, quote, "Absolutely, there are people throughout the hospital who are dealing and using everywhere," end quote. Instead of hospitals being places of recovery, there's chaos with rampant illicit drug use, violence, and predatory drug trafficking. And Mr. Speaker, it's truly mind-boggling. So why has the Premier turned hospitals into free-for-all zones for drug traffickers and unchecked use of meth, crack cocaine, and fentanyl? Here,
here. Minister of Health.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Every health authority has clear policies on this question. Every single one does, Honourable Speaker. The member refers, for example, to smoking. You're not allowed to smoke, period, Honourable Speaker. And yes, Honourable Speaker, there are occasions, of course, when people don't follow the rules and we have to take steps. We have to take steps to protect the doctors and nurses and health sciences professionals and healthcare workers and members of the public who are affected by that, including other patients, Honourable Speaker. And that is precisely what we're doing. We've taken specific action at the instigation of the BCNU, but also the Hospital Employees Union, the HSA, to increase security in our hospitals. And we'll be taking and continue to take action to ensure that people working in hospitals are safe, Honourable Speaker. It is the case, Honourable Speaker, that when people present in hospitals, they are often ill, Honourable Speaker. They are always ill when they are admitted to hospital. And they are sometimes dealing with severe addiction and other issues. And we have to treat them there with compassion. We also have to ensure that everybody involved in the process is safe, and we are doing that, and we will do that.
Prince George Realmont.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And the Health Minister, like members on this side of the House, knows full well that it's not on occasions that it is occurring. It is happening every single day in hospitals right across British Columbia. And the latest group of courageous nurses to speak up were actually at St. Paul's. So he can ignore the words of the opposition, but this is what the nurses at St. Paul's had to say, and I quote, "You can barely walk into some of the rooms. There's needles and broken crack pipes all over the floor," end quote. They go on to say that housekeeping will not clean some rooms. That's not an occasion in my comments to the minister. That is every day. And in fact, what they said, and I again quote nurses, we have patients in four bedrooms that have been exposed to patients fighting with their drug dealers in their room, end quote. On what planet is it acceptable for the minister to continue to duck, dodge, and weave and ignore the concerns of nurses across British Columbia? It is time he stood up, took responsibility, and made the priority the safety of nurses and patients in our healthcare system.
Minister of Health.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker, and absolutely. My priority is the safety of patients, of people visiting the hospital, of nurses, of health sciences professionals, of healthcare workers. It's why we've taken specific action with all of the representatives of those unions and of the doctors of BC to increase the level of security. The member says starting tomorrow. No, Honourable Speaker. It was, of course, well over a year ago that we said we were going to change security. We're going to move from the privatized system, which was the legacy of the past, to Honourable Speaker, a system where we add 320 relational security officers, and we will be adding more, Honourable Speaker. And the reason we did that was to ensure that our security staff was better trained, which was something that nurses and many others had advocated for, and to ensure, Honourable Speaker, that there was greater safety in facilities. It is the case, Honourable Speaker, that people who suffer from severe addiction problems or in acute care hospitals every day. That is the case, Honourable Speaker, and we have to take very specific steps to ensure that everywhere, regardless of whether it's St. Paul's, regardless of whether it's Baker, regardless of whether it is Prince Rupert, regardless of whether it's Dawson Creek, that everywhere, Honourable Speaker, the same policies apply and are seen to apply.
Kelowna Mission.
Nurses face a daily reality of drug-fueled violence. Laura Martin, a nurse at Victoria General Hospital, says, and I quote, "It's happening daily. I have people in tears on a daily basis because of exposure and violence. But when they've reported, nothing has changed," end quote. WorkSafe BC's investigations confirm this, revealing a systemic failure to protect healthcare workers from open, illicit drug use. My question is actually to the Labour Minister. How many injury claims have been filed by healthcare workers as a result of the NDP's reckless decriminalisation policy?
Minister of Health.
Oh, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And in every case, Honourable Speaker, people deserve to be supported. And, Honourable Speaker, we are going to continue to do the work with the BC Nurses Union, with individual nurses, with nurses in facilities, with health sciences professionals, with HEU members to ensure that everywhere, it doesn't matter which hospital you're in, the rules should apply. No matter which hospital you're in, the rules should apply, Honourable Speaker.
Members.
We face, Honourable Speaker, as members know in this province, people living with serious addiction issues every day. This is not new, although it is surely more serious now than it has been because of the nature of the toxic drug emergency. It is never allowed. It is never allowed that people smoke in our hospital, Honourable Speaker. It is never allowed. That doesn't mean, Honourable Speaker, that doesn't mean that people do not break the rules, Honourable Speaker. It doesn't mean they don't break the rules in washrooms.
Members.
It doesn't mean
they
break the rules elsewhere.
Members.
Honourable Speaker, the opposition House leader, who is part of a government that privatized security, that downgraded security, is opposed to us hiring 320 more security officers who are employees of the health authorities.
Members. Minister will conclude.
Honourable Speaker, I meet all the time with nurses, and we discuss these very questions, because they are of serious concern to nurses and everyone in healthcare every day, as are the impacts of the toxic drug emergency. That's why we've taken action and we'll continue to take action with our nurses, with our health sciences professionals, with our healthcare workers. And Honourable Speaker, we'll take those actions in spite of the opposition of the opposition.
Member for Kelowna Mission Supplemental.
Unbelievable.
Well, what the minister
members,
is doing.
Members, please. Members, come to order. Member.
What the minister is doing isn't working. Nobody believes this minister when he says that he can actually keep patients and nurses safe. Day in and day out, nurses are at risk and attacked because of the NDP's decriminalization policy and the minister failing to do his job. At North Island Hospital in Campbell River, one nurse has been exposed to illicit drug smoke 6 separate times and has seen her colleagues, including pregnant staff and patients, exposed to the same toxic smoke environment. From maternity wards to emergency rooms, nurses and healthcare staff confront violence, toxic drug exposure, and dire health risks, not for themselves alone, but for every patient and visitor. And since the health minister didn't actually answer my last question, I'm going to again ask the labor minister. How many injury claims have there been from healthcare workers, and how many more need to be filed before he will actually do his job?
Minister of Health. Minister of Health.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I think what people expect, what nurses, everyone else expect, is that in every hospital in BC, that we have clear policies in this regard, that nurses and healthcare workers and patients and everyone is protected, Honourable Speaker, in circumstances, Honourable Speaker, that are often challenging. They're often challenging, Honourable Speaker. And nurses who have spoken to me about these very issues, Honourable Speaker, and who have supported actions that we've taken and want more actions, Honourable Speaker. Nurses who've consistently done this have made this case to me directly. I listen to nurses and health sciences professionals and healthcare workers on these questions all the time. As we face challenging issues in the community, we face challenging issues in hospital, which in many ways are a reflection of the community. And that's why we have to continue to support everyone who works in healthcare and everyone who visits a facility and ensure that violence, in particular, is never acceptable in a hospital or anywhere else.
The bell and the question period.